Good morning, Wisconsin. We're already breaking.
Yes, we are.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 7:07 on the clock, and you got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your Friday out there. It's Friday, Seth.
Hey, we made it.
Oh, we made it. They cannot take this from us. It is Friday.
Another Friday.
We're going to make sure to enjoy it, too. We got some fun stuff to kick the show off with. When does our spontaneity peak? We're gonna get into that.
Ooh, okay.
Got tips to take your Halloween decorations to a whole nother level. Got all that coming up for you. And also in this hour, we'll get into our National Day of calendar. 8 o'clock hour, jam-packed. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Our Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Seth and I are going to play a famous kids theme song.
Nice.
I think this is our last one. We got two more before Halloween.
Okay.
So we got a couple Halloween ones coming up.
Ooh.
So this is our last kids theme that we'll be doing. You had a lot of fun with it last Friday.
Yes, I did.
That was great. Heard a good response from that one, too. So that's fun. We're going to have that for you a little bit later in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day. Then I write stories. Have some entertainment news we will touch on along with local events throughout the whole day. Getting into all that and as well leading up to Morning Magazine. Final one of the week. Mm-hmm. Where in part one, we're going to welcome in Jacob Wagner. Jacob and I are going to talk about the drug take back day.
Ooh, very nice.
Looking forward to that. And any chance we get to talk to anybody in our Wood County Health Department.
Yeah.
And in part two, the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau has set up with us Science by the River. Colton Hutchinson, Water Resource Specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, is going to be with us.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, and Science by the River, a very fun event.
Yes, it is.
They were in with us last week, and were nice enough to give me a shirt. And I like to promote our local events and our local nonprofits around whenever I have an opportunity to in the building here. And it's the only clothes I own. No, it's not.
It's close.
She gave me a shirt, and she was a little nervous because it's medium. And it doesn't – I mean, it fits well enough, but not that well, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it's also pink.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this until yesterday, Seth. I've never worn pink before.
Really?
Yeah, not on purpose necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, I wasn't dressed in it. As an adult, I don't see it as a color that fits me well or looks good on me or whatever. So I never even really thought about it. I have thought about it certainly in this month for breast cancer awareness,
right?
And those things. But I hadn't thought of it otherwise, and I don't know how to feel necessarily about it. But I also I think it's kind of fun. I'm 45 and I have a color I've never worn before. That's kind of
interesting.
Fun.
It's
weird. It's weird. But that fits me.
I got to say, pink is a color that just about anyone can wear. There's not a lot of people who can't do pink, and that goes for everybody. So I like wearing pink.
It's good. And this is where one of the few areas we differ. I agree with you until it comes to me.
Really?
I'm not sure. I'm just not. There's a handful of things in this world I'm incredibly confident in, and then there's everything else. And clothes are one of them. Colors are one of them.
Really?
One of them.
Well, that's why t-shirts work well, because then you just throw it on and you're good to go.
Absolutely.
Well, you're wearing a black sweatshirt over the pink, and that works really well. Pink and black go well together. So.
That I do agree.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Pink and black go really good
together.
They do. That's a good one. All that coming up for you today, a little bit later today on our sister station, WYRI, got great high school football action. Nacoosa taking on Burnham Wood. Randy Paul on the call for that one, y'all. Randy and I were talking about this game on Monday, hoping that he was going to be able to do it because he's excited. It should be a really good game. Got two pretty evenly matched teams. And any chance we can get as much high school football as we can get on the radio, we're going to do.
Yes. And this actually wraps up the regular season this week, too. So
I don't believe Nacoosa is going into playoff play.
No, I don't think so.
But I'm 90% sure. I almost think Lincoln is guaranteed, and I'm pretty sure Assumption has.
Yes, both of them.
Yeah, that's right. So that's we'll see what we can cover there.
Yeah.
Looking forward to getting everything to you, and we can certainly promise you that we'll be covering it on Playmakers on Monday. Be sure to join us for that. I actually am going to put Seth on the spot live on the air
because
I forgot to mention it before we went on air.
Oh, all right.
If you're free Monday, be sure to join us, Seth.
Well, I think I can do that. Yeah.
If you'd like to. I make sure all you guys do, because it is the show where you call in and join the conversation. We'll be talking some college sports as well, because Saturday, 1 o'clock, our pregame starts. Your Badgers taking on Michigan State and heading up to Spartanville for that game.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a good one.
Should be.
Looking forward to all of that. good stuff. And of course, we have something else that we're going to be covering, Seth. I wanted to make sure to let the audience know about.
Yes, we have.
Don't mind.
Yeah, coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, right on WFHR, right here on these airwaves, we have the only gubernatorial, see, now I'm having trouble with it.
Yeah, totally.
Gubernatorial debate.
Darn word.
Between Governor Evers and Tim Michaels. That's coming up tonight at from 7 to 8. We have it live here on WFHR, so tune in for that. Before that, of course, we have some commentary from the gang over at Devil's Advocates. They'll be going right up to that, and then some commentary afterwards as well. So tune in for the only debate that's happening. So that's coming up tonight at 7.
It's going to be nice to have that on the radio, too.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. I want to do, we're going to get into entertainment news in just a little bit later today and everything, so I'm looking forward to diving into that. One of the things I wanted to let the audience know, we're going to preview Seth's show this weekend, Seth Faces the Music.
That's right.
And we'll even tell you about a show that we are working on, Seth and I, that is going to premiere after Seth's show sometime, hopefully in the next couple of weeks here.
That's what we're looking for.
That's what we're hoping. Everybody cross your fingers. But spontaneity is where we start things because, well, that seems like a pretty good place to start.
Sure. It's very spontaneous.
Yes, thank you. I thought that I did not plan that at all. I did. I did actually plan it all. A lot of people like to think that they're spontaneous.
There you go.
But if you're like, you know, some, in reality, your spontaneity phase could be reduced to about 6 weeks in the summer after you turn 21. And then it ended there. It stopped
there. That's it.
It's called college. It's called... According to a new study, spontaneity might peak later than you think.
Hmm.
After talking with about a thousand people, they found that it spikes at about the age 31.
Really?
And holds at that level for about 6 years before dropping off. So if you're between 30, 37, like, hey, you're in a peak area here for spontaneity.
Yeah, interesting. Wow.
They characterize spontaneity as impulsive and a desire to have fun, with a lack of responsibility and fewer financial commitments. If that's you in your 30s, God bless you.
If
you have a handful of that, any of that, like, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it. I mean, maybe more so now than when we were that age, you know? I think, honestly, I haven't seen the numbers, so I don't know what, like, the millennials, what their marriage patterns are, if it's changed at all in the last 20, 30 years. That'd be interesting to find out, but that does make sense because when you've kind of established then in the 30s, you know, maybe you have a more steady job and you have better income. Maybe, you know, you're not attached to anyone, you know, like seriously or something like that. It would make sense that, yeah, now you can do more stuff and you can do it on the fly.
Yeah. I also think I noticed something else from this article. We'll get to that in a second. In general, only about 12% of adults would describe themselves as very spontaneous. 38% said that they're the opposite and rarely step out of their comfort zone. And 47% wish they were more impulsive. Spontaneous wish list activities range from dyeing your hair to going to the airport without a ticket or a destination in mind.
Jeez.
That is on my bucket list.
Oh, is it? Really? That's cool.
When I was a kid, I spent some time at O'Hare Airport and back and forth. And there was a guy there that I ran into one time because he was new to the Midwest. He had just got there and didn't have a clock and didn't know what time it was. And I'm telling him. And he was 2 hours behind. And he had showed up in Chicago that way. He had said he'd taken an airplane, he'd taken a flight, he'd gone, showed up at the airport. He told me a whole lot that you probably didn't need to tell a 13-year-old, but yeah, this guy was having a bad week, a very, very bad week, and laid it all out there for you. And came to the city of the blues, apparently, to feel it.
Feel those blues.
It was really cool, and it just like stayed with me as an adult. And
that would, yeah.
I think that if you had the time, the money, the flexibility in your schedule, all that... It seems like such a fun idea. I mean, a round ticket. I'm not looking for a one-way ticket.
Then you walk back, right? Hitchhike.
Yeah, right. But I mean, there are a few things that seem more thrilling to me than that. Like, I don't get a... I had enough of the whole, adrenaline run junkie stuff as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid, I got that all out of my system. So I don't have a whole lot of that. Although I just, like most, you know, American men, love adrenaline. but I when it comes to those kind of things, like, that seems more like not just spontaneity, but, like, just adventurous and stuff.
Yeah.
That seems like one of those things, like, you just close... The whole, like in the movies where they close their eyes, they spin the globe... And they, you know, point. Yeah. Point, you know, Coming to America is a great example of that. Queens.
Yeah.
What better place to find my queen? Queens.
Uh-huh.
Great writing.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It's funny, though, because I think both of us tend to be planners.
Yes.
And I 100%. I have been known to do every now and then to, you know, just kind of, you know, let it fly. You know, go ahead with the spontaneity and do something a little bit. I did it more when I was younger, I will admit, because, I didn't have any commitment. Yeah. Kids, you know, all this stuff. And then it's a lot easier. It is a lot easier to do that. But for most of my life, I've never been like that. If I want to do things, I want to plan it out a little bit more just because it makes me feel, you know, more safe.
Right.
You're jumping without on a tightrope without a net. Not my thing so much.
Gotcha. I hear you. You're so right about being a planner. I'm such a planner. I was planning what to say to you in response to being a planner.
I
was like getting my thoughts in line in my head. It really does help me with interviewing. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just kind of like sometimes it's boring and sometimes it's chaos in my brain.
Yeah.
And both of them are equally frustrating.
Right. Exactly.
It also seems like to me, and this is coming from I wouldn't say years of quote unquote research, but for lack of a better term, the amount of different stories we've been doing and different things we've done that all come back to me. When we were kids, you'd hear adults say all the time, "Oh, let them be a kid as long as possible." And I don't feel like we ever really did a whole lot to do that. Not anybody's fault. There's nobody to blame. That's just life. That's how society works.
Circumstances, too.
Exactly.
Where are you coming from? Yeah.
Yes. But it seems like we've gotten... Maybe, I don't know if we've gotten better at this or more ability to let our kids do this.
Mm.
And at the same time, reality's never been more on the forefront. Like, it's right there on their tablets, their phones.
Yeah.
It's in life. Everything has bled into everything. I laugh my tail off when I hear people say, like, actors or entertainers or sports athletes or whatever, I just want to watch sports. I don't want politics in sports. I want this in sports. Like, these are human beings. Everything bleeds into everything.
Right.
Whether we like it or not. It'd be wonderful. It'd be a perfect world if everything was basically a military dish where everything is separated and we can separate all these
everything
things.
In the tray, right, where it belongs.
That ain't the world we live in.
No.
I mean, we can shape this world and make it so many things. There are only so many things we can do.
Yeah.
And that is one of those ones. It's like trying to get the water out of our bodies. Yeah. It just ain't going to happen.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I actually don't think it's as new as I think it's just more out there because I think there's always been everything has been connected, but I don't think people brought as much attention to it as they do now. I think because we have social media, that is one of the big catalysts in saying, you know, starting to bring things out more, people, you know, discussing for good and bad, for, you know, discussing different things that they never would have in the past. So I think that stuff has been around, but we just didn't notice it maybe so much.
That's a good point. And it's actually kind of interesting, Seth, because you and I tend to be outliers, weirdos, you know, the odd group.
Or, yes, we are.
As I say to the guy in the Odd Couple.
Yes, thank you.
I do want to ask about that a little bit.
All right.
But in general, only 12% of adults would describe themselves as spontaneous.
Yeah.
So we are actually normal for once, Seth.
We're normal.
We're kind of in the group
out
here. How about that?
We're not strange in everything.
I just wanted everyone to know that I was normal. I just wanted to get that out
thank
there.
Thank you, Sam the Eagle.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:21 on the clock. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to the day.
Indeed.
It is Be Bald and Be Free Day, Seth. As we kick off our National Day of Calendar for this 14th of October. That's a good one.
All of our bald friends out there.
Yes, yes.
Be free. Be free.
You can thank Tony Savalas and you can thank Michael Jordan. Those are the two big ones that I remember.
Yeah, bald is beautiful, right?
And I saw a lot of Telly Savalas growing up, The Dirty Dozen, plenty of movies and stuff. But it's as a little kid, it was the Players Club International, baby. Players Club. He's got that lollipop, and he's just standing with that
Kojak,
beautiful bald
man.
Head. And everything.
Love Kojak.
He's basically doing a Kojak in those commercials.
Yeah,
you go back and look at him and everything. There are few human beings I've ever seen more comfortable in their own skin than Telly Savalas.
He was one of the
just
best.
Just so
man.
Smooth. So
yep.
yeah. And
he did.
Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan.
I think he really did make baldness because it was kind of a novelty when he was like, no, I'm going to go completely bald.
Yeah.
And people were like, wow. And then now look at today.
Yeah.
I mean, The Rock. I mean, look at all the big stars. People, they're like, I don't need hair.
Everybody but LeBron. LeBron cannot give up his hair, and I don't blame him. I have not had to face this yet. I do not blame him. But
yeah,
every summer, at least the last like 6 or 7, it looks like, oh, LeBron's going to shave his head. He's going to go all bald. And then he's got like a little patch of hair.
Can't.
Come on, man. Can't shoe shine that. You can't. Come on. Come on, brother. I mean,
you want some buffing going
it's
on
all
there.
Right. It's all right to go bald. It's all right. It is. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, I say that as a man who's basically, I can't afford a sports car, so my like midlife crisis is was growing my hair out, basically. I'm kidding. It was for
yeah.
It sounds funnier if that's why.
Yeah, it's true.
I actually do tell a lot of people that just to see if if they laugh or not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good one. I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the world will know when I start like going bald because it's all gone. It's all
it's
gone.
Just you're going to take it everything Zoop. Off.
Yep. All gone. The easiest haircut of my life will go from that point forward
yep.
and everything. For one, I'm not a comb-over guy. But that's not because I have anything against it necessarily.
Yeah.
It's because my hair goes out and up. Mine is fro-ish. Yes. It's kinky. It's nappy. It's all those things. So there is literally no comb-over possibility for me.
No.
Mine will go, if I go bald, it'll go bozo or that's it. Like basically like an older version of, Sideshow Bob or something like
right.
that.
Well, maybe you get lucky and you'll get it like right in the top of your head, right in the back.
Yeah,
so like
yeah.
a tonsure like the monks used to have to do.
Yeah.
Because that's actually what my bald spot looks like.
No. Well, I actually wanted to tell you, Seth, if you ever want to borrow my yarmulke, because you
perfect
said,
right there.
I thought I only said it because that's where I thought you were going with that. With the well, James,
oh really?
You're bald
yeah,
right there. You just wear a yarmulke.
You
all
could
the time.
Just wear
it. It's true. It's
I
true.
Could do it, but then I would confuse a lot of people. It's like, oh, you're Jewish? No, I just have a bald spot. Yeah.
I love the idea of you wearing a yarmulke though, like while Beth is doing her job.
That would be hilarious. Yeah,
that'd be funny. World Standards Day.
Standards? Okay, what standards are we talking about here?
Take some time to learn about the history of standardization and consider how much more difficult our lives would be without standard measurements, sizes, shapes, and etc.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
I have to give him that one.
That's a good one, yeah. And we say this as one of the last countries to still be doing,
the imperial system, yes.
Yeah. That metric system, man. Telling you. I think that there are a few things in life I feel confident saying this about. I don't think America will ever go to anything but the system we use right now.
I think you're right. There was that push in the 70s.
Yes.
If you think back, they were really trying to convert. It didn't take. And I'm kind of sad about that because the metric system is a lot better. It actually makes more sense.
That's what I've heard.
You know, it's in groups of, easier to do. Now, having said that, I am not going to learn the metric system. I'm sorry. I'm not going to
learn
it.
No. This is why. It's
yeah, exactly.
Happen. This is exactly why. I would like to tell you that we Americans, we like to dig our feet in the dirt sometimes
we
on
do.
Certain subjects, and we will not let them go. I feel like this was one of
this
them.
This is one of them.
But at this point in the game, it's kind of like, no, we're not doing that. You're not going to get that. You may be able to get like kids to do it, but I don't even think you could get like 13-year-olds
probably
to
not.
Necessarily learn this down. I think it's gone too far this way. And USA, we'll hang on to this.
That's the one thing. Yeah, imperial system.
Vet Nurse Day. That's a good one.
That is a good one because, for me personally, I never think about vets having nurses. And it's like, oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And again, it's another group that you don't get to see a lot. You don't hear about it a lot, but they are so important.
Yeah, especially there are so many times I would bring a shelter dog to a vet, and it was the nurse that would keep them calm. The doctors, none against the veterinarians and everything, but they were good as well. But it was the nurses that I wouldn't say part of their job, but certainly part of the job they took on was getting these dogs that, especially some of these dogs, they came to us abused, and they flinch at the wind, let alone, when a human being is coming at them and stuff. And they can't differ from me, from their abuser. They don't know the difference right away. They read our faces and they're like, well, I read that guy's face and he beat me.
Yep.
So what am I supposed to think here? I'm just a dog. I got no thumbs. I got, and these vet nurses, just incredible.
Incredible.
The definition of bedside manner with animals. And I mean, it's one thing. I watched this a lot with my Nana, who was a nurse, and some others, like my sister-in-law, Kim, and that.
Yeah.
When you have to work with people that you can't talk to necessarily, like babies or somebody who can't speak, yeah, these kind of things.
Alzheimer's, something like that. Yeah.
Just a whole nother level of care and really professional excellence.
You got it, man.
World Egg Day.
I love eggs.
Eggs are great.
From my head down to my legs.
I do like eggs.
The Egg Council people got to me early.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That's like those ads when we were kids.
Do you have a go-to way you like eggs?
Boy, you know, there's not. I mean, scrambled is always good because you can. That's easy to make.
Tried
you can
and do true. That.
Yep. I do like fried eggs. Mm. I tend to. When I was younger, I liked them over easy. Now I like them more over hard. Just because, for whatever reason, I just decided I like that better. I love like fried egg sandwiches. You know, like your egg McMuffin type thing. Yeah. Oh, I love those. I could eat those all day long.
I'm with you on those.
And but just in general, I love eggs, and they're so great. All the stuff you can do with them too.
There's so much you can do with them.
Yeah,
everything from your batter to French toast to cookies, and of course to what you were talking about there. For me, I scrambled eggs a go-to.
Yep.
That's a good one. Especially my dad. My dad actually makes the greatest scrambled eggs I've ever had.
I believe
fluffy,
it.
They got flavor to them. They're actually, don't anybody tell her this, they're actually better than my mom's.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't let her know. We won't tell her.
Just keep that between us, everybody.
Okay, yep.
I can already feel the guilt. it all depends on what I'm eating. If I'm having, if I'm making like a, my dad and I like breakfast sandwiches, like making our own. We'll make like sausage links and you know, bacon and
some of the best stuff.
Just jamming in a piece of bread, and that scrambled eggs are perfect for that. It holds everything together.
It's true.
But if you're a dipper, like you like to dip your toast or something, that's over easy. You know, a little bit better.
Yep. If you want to dip it in the egg yolk. Yep.
I did not realize this, but eggs are great.
They are great.
I didn't really think about it though. National Boss Day. National Boss Day.
Why do they need a day?
I don't.
Sorry, Mike and Sage. I'm telling you. Why do you guys need a day? Really?
I don't know necessarily that there's a real rhyme or reason for that. But I will say, and I'm glad you mentioned Mike and Sage, Seth, because I hope if anybody didn't get a chance to listen to it, you should be sure to check out the Devil's Advocate Radio had a great guest this week, Sage.
That's right, yeah.
And boy, is that a get for Mike. How he landed that interview, I'll never know. I'm actually mad at Mike. I'm actually not mad, jealous. Not mad, jealous. Because he landed the Sage interview, and I've been trying to do that since I've known the man. Well, Sage is a really interesting guy.
He is.
Fun listen. Mm-hmm. As, of course, Mike is, because that's his game, man. That's what he does. He's a bulldog.
Yep.
Mike and Sage, you got to hear not only a great interview between those two, I think for some of us that haven't gotten to see them together very often, got to see why this works.
Yeah.
All this whole thing, this whole idea of civic media, the whole thing, all of our
crazy
stations,
idea,
every little bit of it, it all comes down to those two.
Mm-hmm.
And it works because of those two. Not only the yin and yang of that they both possess, but their chemistry, their connection, you could tell that there is a more than a mutual respect between the two of them.
Yeah.
And we've been able to say this for a couple of years, to be fair, because I liked working with Marcus. I liked Heart of Wisconsin Media, still big fans of theirs.
Yep.
We wish them a good morning in Adams and everything.
Yep.
But between that and these new owners with Mike and Sage, it's not so bad to have National Boss Day anymore.
No, it's not.
It's really not a bad thing. Even taking it to another level with our general manager, Chuck, who is one of our oldest friends, Chuck is literally growing up in this with this station.
This station would not work without Chuck. And
no,
we mean that
period.
Very literally.
Yeah. It's Pam and Chuck. Like,
yep.
That's the way that goes. And even though Pam might push back on that, I guarantee you Chuck is the first one telling us that,
you that. Yep.
So I think that this is a good one for a number of reasons. If you got a good boss, it's not a bad idea to let them know.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate to have some other ones. I've mentioned Conan O'Brien. Let me pick that name up that I just dropped. Let me pick that up. But my bosses over at Stoiber, Aaron and Moselle, great bosses, great people.
Yeah.
Never really felt like, that. I think a good boss, you don't think about them as a boss all the time, but you do when it matters.
Yep.
There is the respect level there that, okay, we can joke around, but I'm not going to treat you in such a way.
Right, exactly.
And it's National Dessert Day. Oh, sorry. One last thing I wanted to say about the bosses.
Oh, sure.
If you don't have a good boss, maybe it's time to think about moving on. Maybe it's time
find a good boss.
Yeah. Because I don't think it's a requirement in order in management to be a good boss, but it's getting there.
It's getting really close.
The great migration and everything hasn't stopped people. People are still, I can make $2 less and enjoy my life. Boom, I'll do it.
I will take that.
Yeah. National Dessert Day.
All right.
Satisfy your sweet tooth with cakes, pastries, tarts, and candies on dessert day. Ooh. Have a bake-off with friends or invent a brand new delicacy of your own.
You're reading that and I just gained 2 pounds. Yeah.
I can see how. Yeah. The amount of food that I'm thinking of right now,
yeah.
I feel like I put out at least a half a pound of that. I just wanted to take a quick look at the weekend, and on Saturday they have a couple of good ones. White Cane Safety Day. It's a day to keep an eye out for our veterans.
Yep.
Especially this time of year, we do a good job. We hope we can always do a better job. We do a pretty good job keeping an eye out for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing goes with our veterans, our older, our seniors.
Yes, and for blind people too.
I mean,
because that's also one of the main things that help them get around as well. So, yep.
Saturday is also National Grouch Day.
The picture they got on there.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. National Fetch Day.
Nice.
Adventure Day. That's a good one.
And Bridge Day. Take an adventure on a bridge, yeah, I guess. There you go. Combine them.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And Mushroom Day is Saturday.
Love mushrooms.
National Sweetest Day.
Oh, that's the sweetest day. I don't like Sweetest Day.
It's
ridiculous.
It is
like Valentine's too. They might as well just call it that.
I'm trying to see. On October 8th, 1921, Cleveland confectors came together to create a new day to celebrate the people's love of candy and each other. Then somebody reminded them that there was Valentine's Day, and they were like, well, we're already here. We might as well do this. National Sweetest Day. There's never a bad day to treat the one you love to let them know.
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's kind of...
Yeah.
It's made to sell candy. Come on.
Oh, I'm with you. Yes. Yeah. That's part of the reason. As a foolish romantic, I don't like these days that they seem to take away from romanticism, or however you would word that.
I don't know. Make it love day, but not so lame. Yes. Sorry, that's a Simpsons reference there.
So good. So good. World Food Day is Sunday. That's a great one.
That is a good one. Yes. Yeah.
Any chance to bring not only attention to our farmers and the ag industry, to all the truck drivers out there getting this food across the country from place to place?
Think of where we have been over the last 2-3 years and what we have learned about the whole supply chain. We've all heard of that now too much, but just think, that's the reason. That's how we get our food, everybody.
And certainly our farmers, our ag industry.
Everybody involved.
All of us, yeah.
Yep.
Also, bringing attention to those that are in need, those that could use your help.
Don't have enough food, yep.
We're very fortunate to have the SWEPS organization in our community here that has so much under its umbrella, the Neighborhood Table, the backpack programs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of different events in this area that do something about this. And we all know this, and you hear us ramble about this all the time on the air. We got a great community. You guys step up all the time, and there's still people hurting.
We still need, yep.
Even with all that work and all these years of doing this and stuff, there's still people hurting out there. And oftentimes, if not all the time, it is not people you would expect.
Yep.
It is not people who are, their clothes are in tatters and they're standing outside a department store with a can asking for money. Most of them, especially in the Midwest, where we got pride. And sometimes it's foolish pride, where we don't want to ask for help, or we don't want to show people that we're weak or something like that. You're not weak.
Yeah.
You are a human being. Uh-huh. Every one of us have those moments.
We do.
So it's certainly a good day for that, too.
Yep.
And that is Sunday. And it's also World Toy Camera Day on Sunday. But I don't understand. I don't know why this had its own day.
What is this thing?
World Toy Camera Day is a yearly event that honors the ridiculous photo-taking capacity of outdated toy cameras. This was inspired by Pine Hole Photography Day because she believed Becky Romanowski created this, and quite frankly, that there weren't enough terrible nostalgic pictures on the internet.
I beg to differ on that one.
I'm guessing that.
Huh.
Interesting. Okay.
Because that's what we need, more blurry, out-of-focus pictures.
I do remember those toy cameras.
I do, too. And they took terrible pictures. That's true.
They really did. We're going to get to Melissa's news when Seth and I come back. We got 4 tips to take your Halloween decorations to a whole nother level. All that coming up for you on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. I'm hearing this for the first time, everyone. And I got my partner in sound over here to my right, my partner in art, yeah. Seth Habhager, to thank for this. Oh, this is well done by you, my man. Getting in that Halloween spirit for All Hallows Eve coming up in just a couple of weeks here. And that actually is a perfect segue into our next topic. You got Seth and James here, 7:42 on the clock. We got four tips to take your Halloween decorations to a whole nother level. This is, if you feel like your neighborhood, your neighbors always have a better Halloween display than you, here are four tips to help you keep up.
Well, I'm listening. I'm ready.
Stick to a theme is number one on the list, like a creepy circus or zombies or the Nightmare Before Christmas or any of these kind of things. A theme is going to help you.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll keep you for one, from like buying every little thing that you see.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, this doesn't fit the theme or this and that kind of thing. It also will help you have a little more order with how to spread out these decorations and stuff.
For a couple years now, I've been wanting to throw a party, a Halloween party. I've been wanting to do it for a while because I love Halloween and I love Halloween parties. Yeah. And but I just, you know, things have come up and I haven't been able to, you know, like, well, you know, sure. Shows that sort of thing. Yeah. But hopefully next year, I'm kind of planning for next year to hopefully get something together. And I think my theme is going to be like skeletons. I think that's what I'm going to go
like
with.
It.
So, yeah.
I happen to have the body type that is perfect to play a skeleton.
Just skeleton suit glows in the dark. Yes. You jump out at people.
Yep, I can do that. I seem to be pretty scary even without the costume. So I love Halloween parties. Mm-hmm. Love Halloween parties. They're awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. That sounds like it's always... Especially if you haven't been one in a long time, like that's fun. Last couple of years, I imagine not as many have gone on, so it'd be kind of cool to do that again.
Yeah.
Don't traumatize your neighbors. Just don't. Don't do it. And that includes little kids. You know, maybe remember what this holiday is really about as much as we adults have taken it over.
Right.
It is still about kids, little kids bopping around your neighborhoods. I wish people would take this more into consideration with everything from political signs to this kind of stuff.
Oh, I agree.
It's your house. Yeah, it's your property. That comes with a responsibility, though. You can't pay to... You literally... There are certain things you can't legally do, and there's a good reason for it.
Yeah.
And it's not just about us or you being able to wave your flag of your, you know, whatever party you're supporting or cult you're a part of or whatever, however you want to look at it and everything, because some of this stuff is getting awfully cultish to me.
It seems that way, right?
Got little kids bopping around. And if we aren't creating a world that is safe and comfortable for them, what the heck are we doing? We're not doing our job as adults. We're failing as adults when we allow these things to happen or when we promote these things. If you don't like this person or that whatever, that's fine. That's your right as an American.
Exactly.
And it technically is your right to have these signs up and everything. But it is the one of the tackiest and lamest, saddest things I've ever heard. Or seen. And just in the last couple of years, this kind of stuff has gone on. So while we're talking about Halloween decorations and scaring people, what's, I wouldn't say scary to me, but like sad scary to me, lame scary to me, is these flags, these kind of those things and stuff.
A Halloween party around politics would be very scary, but no one would come.
No.
That's the problem. No.
Everybody's already scared enough.
They're like, no, we're done. We're not coming to your party.
That's the problem with half this stuff is as politics have become so divisive and everything that people don't even want to talk about it or look at it.
Yep.
And that is scary. Now, that is definitely scary. That is dangerous right there. Don't traumatize your neighbors. It seems like every year there's a story or two about someone calling 911 on a house Halloween decorations. Stuff like super realistic blood and guts should be off limits, especially if there are kids around.
Exactly. Will be kids around.
That's coming from multiple reported sources here and everything. Mm-hmm. Think about all the senses.
Ooh.
Halloween decorations are better if they're more than just something to look at. Incorporating sounds or smells is going to make for a better overall experience.
Yeah. Wow, I hadn't thought of that, but they're absolutely right. Take a page from the Mouse.
Yeah.
They do that kind of stuff at Disney World and Disneyland and stuff. They make sure they get all the senses involved, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, that's a good one.
I never got to do this, but I've seen it in a ton of TV shows and everything where the close eyes and like one of the parents is, and here's a human brain and it's Jell-O or whatever. Here are eyes and they're grapes, you know, that kind of thing. That seems like that kind of thing. That seems fun.
Those are fun things, yes.
And it uses their imagination.
Exactly.
All right. The thing about this that we do have in common with children when it comes to Halloween, it is an opportunity for us to hang out with our best friend again. Imagination.
Yes.
Like, that has always been your best friend. It just gets lost in the shuffle when you meet these real people. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm just kidding.
But are they real?
Yeah. You know, I don't know yet. I'm not sure. I've referenced my friend Chris for years on the radio.
Does he actually exist?
You don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Never met him. I don't know. He may be just a figment of your imagination.
My buddy Will out in California worries about this. Like, it's been years since he brought it up, but there was a time where he talked to my dad a little bit on the phone. Mm-hmm. And before that, he was kind of worried. He's like, man, we've known each other like 15 years, and I've never talked to anybody you know. Do they think I'm real? Like,
yeah, no, he's not. No, he's not
that
real.
That kid that you know that has the girlfriend in Canada who would come to visit if she could, but she can't.
She can't.
You know, and all this. And you guys just don't understand. And she's real. She was not real. She was not real. That girl has never been real. Not once in human history has that girl been real.
Yeah, you see, you're like a little bit worse than that, because you're inventing friends, you know, that are like cooler than you. And it's like,
Yeah, you would think I'd make like imaginary friends that aren't nearly as handsome or whatever, all that stuff. No, they're so much cooler than me, so much more fun. All my real friends invite all my imaginary friends over to the sports party.
Before they invite you. I was thinking we should bring James along, yeah.
They only invite me because they know they have to, because it's a kind of a group deal here.
It is.
Load up on decorations for next year. You're likely to score some great deals on Halloween decorations if you go shopping on November 1st.
We have done that before. We have gotten some great decorations because they really slash the prices after Halloween.
My mom used to be like that with this as well as Christmas.
Oh, Christmas too. Yes,
that one too. And it is where you do find a lot of the funner stuff. Is there a decoration that you can think of that you've wanted that you haven't had before? Because I've seen those giant skeletons now.
Yeah,
I do think those are kind of cool. Those are kind of interesting.
I'm more of a I try to even though I've got kids, I try not to do too much of the cutesy Halloween stuff, which is fine. I mean, I guess it's not a big deal. I don't like to be too scary. I'm looking for more creepy. I like the creep factor with Halloween stuff. That's kind of what I'm looking for. So, like, big inflatables and stuff. Yeah, it's fun to look at them when you're driving by someone's house. Oh, look, they've got the big Frankenstein or whatever. But personally, no, I like them a little more subtle, I guess.
Right on.
Yeah.
We will take a break. We'll come back. We're going to touch on some of the more popular Halloween decorations for 2022.
Cool.
And we're going to go ahead and get into some other fun stuff. It's Seth and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. The morning's on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you at 7:54 on the clock. And we're going to take you right to the top of the hour. We're in 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're going to have Culver's Star of the Day, kids theme song edition.
Mm-hmm.
All that coming up a little bit later. We'll get into some entertainment news. I want to ask Seth how is feeling to get the run back going here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For the Odd Couple. I want to talk on that. And we, of course, want to talk about Seth Faces the Music.
Yeah.
And I also want to preview the audience give the audience a bit of a tease of the new show that you and I are working
on. That's right. Let's do it all.
We're just talking about Halloween decorations. Let's take a look at some of the greatest 2022 newer Halloween decorations.
Newer Halloween decorations. Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do that.
The first one on here, outdoor Halloween decoration, it's a light up witch hats. The little goblins visiting your home will love these creepy floating witch hats. So that's what they basically are, everybody. They're just a floating hat, a witch's hat.
Yeah, a string of lights, basically. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, the string of lights. Yeah,
yep.
I didn't catch that before. Nice catch, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
That is kind of cool, the hat. I like the difference. You know, you get your ghosts and your pumpkins, but that's cool.
Wow, this one I'm looking at here, it's even got a remote.
It's got a remote on it,
so
yes.
You can change the colors and stuff.
Oh, man, that's cool.
And honestly, it's $23. I'm not saying that's cheap, but that's a lot cheaper than I would have expected.
Yeah, that's not bad. I like it.
Not bad, huh? Interesting. All right, that looks good.
Oh, lights are always fun.
Ghostly group lawn decor. Like, I think we're seeing a lot more of these now.
Mm-hmm.
Leading, like, if you have a little path that leads up to your front door.
Light stakes.
Light stakes, that's it.
That's basically, I think that's what they're called. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. These ones have ghosts on them.
That one, those are cool. I've had some in the past of like, you know, like skulls and stuff like that. But I like those. Those look more elaborate and cool.
I will say, with whenever I've been across these, whether they're ones I've bought or just friends of mine, this is one of those ones where you don't cheap out because they just break so easy.
The cheap ones are literally super cheap. Yeah. They don't last very long.
Posable Halloween skeleton.
Let me write this down next year in my party.
Right, right. Let this skeleton figure pose on top of your carved pumpkins to greet your trick-or-treaters.
That's cool.
That's a good one.
That's a very cool one.
Hanging bats. You know,
classic.
Yeah, classic. Got that one.
Yeah.
Witch's cauldron serving bowls.
Ooh.
The only things that can make chips and salsa better this Halloween, eating it out of a witch's cauldron.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That is so cool.
That is a great idea.
Yes.
That's nice. I like that. fake spiders.
Yep.
What's Halloween without a few giant hairy spiders? This set of six creepy crawlers will give you the heebie-jeebies. So they're a little bit, they're the furry little.
The bigger ones. And there's nothing more fun and kind of a pain than fake cobwebs. I mean, because they look so good, but man, they can be kind of be a little hard to work with, especially when you're taking it down. But anyway.
Or especially when you're in a hurry and you forgot that where you put them up and you go running face first into them. Yeah. A Hocus Pocus garden flag with Hocus Pocus 2 coming out this, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. There has never been a better time to display this yard sign. Well, with all your glitz. Oh, look, another glorious morning makes me sick. Isn't that like from the movie?
Yes, yeah, okay, I think that's from the movie.
Okay.
I like you, James. I have never seen either Hocus Pocus. Yeah. I remember when it came out, and it didn't seem like a big deal at the time, but my goodness, has it developed a following. My goodness.
One of the hardest things in the universe to predict what movies are going to become cult favorites.
Exactly.
Nobody in the universe, anybody that tells you that, oh, Rocky Horror Picture, that was going to be a big one. That was going to be a cult favorite. They're lying to you.
They have no idea.
Nobody. Nobody has any idea what any time. This is just something we do as a mob mentality almost kind of thing.
Exactly.
Where we do this with certain movies. And I think it's one of the coolest things about entertainment.
I agree.
For all the things the corporations focus on and try to make happen and all the millions of dollars they spend on advertising and all these things, it'll always come back to that. You'll always have movies like this where they have those cult fans, those cult favorites that we have.
The people make the choice in the end for that kind of stuff. It has nothing to do with the people who made it.
I have nothing against witches. I want to make that very clear. But I really do like the witch crashing into the tree decoration. That is a funny decoration.
That is a pretty funny one. I got to agree with you on that one.
They got that one on this list. So that's a good one. That is pretty funny. Ceremonial Halloween tree. It's basically a Christmas tree with a Halloween stuff.
It's got like purple lights and a jack-o'-lantern on the top. That's actually kind of cool looking.
I like that. Yeah.
That's like a huge moneymaker. You take a Christmas decoration, turn it Halloween, you're going to make $1 million.
Yeah.
You're good.
I mean, it worked for Tim Burton.
You did a whole movie about it, right?
Inflatable pumpkin patches where we wrap up.
That's cool.
Reviewers rave about how this inflatable decoration is such a high quality and a low price count. And I'm seeing it for like $50-$60 here. So
okay.
And there's a bunch of them. There's about five, six, seven of these.
Yeah, wow. That's cool.
I like that. Good luck in the wind. You're going to have to get those down.
And half the time, they don't inflate right.
No.
So that's why I'm not a big fan of those.
When we come back, we're going to get into a new baby name trend that we got coming up. And, of course, cool. Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and our Star of the Day. We'll get you some free Culvers all coming up with Seth and James on Mornings at WFHR.